You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro, Micro and Small Cap News on Friday the 19th of December 2025. After today, there's just 2.5 trading days left until Christmas. Do you like Christmas? I like it's like anything. It's the power of expectation. It's what it's all about. That's what stocks and shares are about. The thought of what can become in the stock you own. That's why, you know, I've mentioned this before, but hope high potential stocks, pre-revenue stocks, loss-making stocks, they can rally like crazy because they have no fundamentals, no financials on which to base, you know, their expectations. It's all about what's in investors' minds. And as you can understand, imagination can take over. And they can go crazy. Ooh, this could be a 1,000-bagger. And then they start commercializing and earning very little revenue. They go, oh, okay, this is the reality of it. And it drops out of the, you know, drops through the floor. Also, 5 trading days until 2026. Doesn't look like we're going to have a Santa rally, does it? Normally lasts 7 days of the year. And it's a bit flat, isn't it? But it is in the microcap space. I do have a fund that holds beer caps. So that's doing okay. But it's by no means a blowout. So I don't know if Santa's turned up, if he's late. What's that? Well, Santa, what's going on, mate? Come on. A bit of macro news. Core retail sales. Year on year to November, they came in at 1.2%. It was expected to come in at 1.6%. And previously it was 1.6, so below expectations. Now, month on month in November, of course, it's a bit of a grisly old month in November because of the budget delay. Again, lack of judgment on Robert Reeves' behalf, not understanding that delaying the budget with lots of worry in it would stop people spending, affect the whole economy. Just lack of foresight, isn't it? Really worrying. Anyway, core resales month on month in November, minus 0.2%. Expectations was for 0.2%, so missed by 0.4%, and previously it was minus 8. Go from minus 8 month-on-month in October to minus 2. That's dreadful, isn't it? And this is from The Guardian here. British retailers have suffered a slump in sales in the run-up to Christmas and are gloomier about their prospects for the start of 2026, a new survey shows. Well, that's good news. Another sign that the UK economy is struggling, the Confederation of British Industry has reported that retail sales volumes fell at an accelerated rate in the year to December. This pulled the CBI's gauge of how retail sales compared with a year earlier. It worsened to minus 44 in December from minus 32 in November. So these are going on for November. This is into December now. The new year is expected to start in a gloomy note for retail sectors. Retailers anticipate that annual sales will fall sharply next month, with expectations at their weakest since March 2021, which is COVID. When you have any kind of figures that are comparing to COVID and lockdowns, it's not good, is it? We're open now. There's no restrictions on going out. The only restrictions there are people are scared to spend because they're worried about the economy. They're worried about their jobs. And that worry is not a virus. Well, the government maybe is a virus, I think. The CBI's survey conducted between November 24th and December 11th involving 161 respondents, including 60 retailers and 85 wholesalers. Another bit of bad news. It just gets worse. There's got to be peak bad news sooner or later. That's the thing. You know, when you're buying recovery stocks, that's the best time to buy. Not when the news is good. Of course, it's when the news becomes less worse. Because then, of course, there's a path to getting better. And then profitability, maybe, if you could come in from a loss position. But anyway, UK borrowed more than expected in November amid pre-budget pressure. ONS figures show public sector net borrowing was £11.7 billion, but £1.9 billion less than the same month last year. Figures from the US, public sector, that's the difference between spending and income, of course. It was above the OBR's prediction of £10 billion. Well, I mean, you couldn't make this up, could you? Even the government's own forecaster, which is supposed to be independent, but put it this way. The Treasury have their office, okay? And then a door down from the Treasury is the OBR. So literally, you know, they share everything. Toilets, coffee machines, everything with the OBR. So is it independent? And it's just a coincidence, isn't it? And the OBR are the most optimistic forecasters on the block. Probably go out for lunches together, all that stuff, you know. So it's not independent. By the way, November is a typically costly month for government spending, reflecting the timing of winter fuel payments. Overall net social benefit payments rose by £1.5 billion from a year earlier to £26.8 million. So overall net social benefit payments, largely because of inflation-linked increases in the state pension triple lock. Borrowing in the financial year to November now, this is for this year only, to the financial year to November was £132.3 billion. This is the second highest April to November borrowing on record, not adjusted for inflation, after 2020. Again, we're comparing to COVID, which was an extreme, you know, left-field situation there. And whenever you're comparing to COVID, if you're comparing, you know, favourably or against them, and like for like almost, there's something wrong, isn't there? The second worst period ever outside COVID. But listen to this. It's just like they got almost delusional. The Labour Chief Secretary to the Treasury, James Murray, said, £1 in every £10 we spend goes on debt interest, money that can be otherwise invested in public services. That is why last month the Chancellor set out a budget that delivers on our pledge to cut debt and borrowing. But you're not. It's the second highest. What are you talking about? It's like Richard Reeves yesterday taking the credit for interest rates coming down. They're coming down because they're crashing the economy, you fool. It's unbelievable, these people, aren't they? Are they mental? Are they mad? I read this yesterday on X. This is from Kelvin McKenzie, okay? It says, thanks to Starmer & Co, unemployment among 18 to 24s has risen to 13.4%. compared with 5.1% across all ages. So between 18 and 24, it's 13.4%. And sadly, it's going to get worse for three reasons. One, minimum pay for 18 to 20s is increasing by 10.1%. At the same time, firms will have to pay national insurance on all employees earning over £5,000 for the first time. So there's no incentive to hire novices. Before, of course, you can get them cheaper and train them up. Two, to hire that demographic in 2025 for a 40-hour week was 17,888. Next April, that number will be £22,568. Three, very likely the age of mandatory pension enrolment will be dropped from 22 to 18, meaning another 3% cost to the employer. Throw in Rayner's appalling employment rights bill, and you can see why no firm in their mind is going to take on your son or daughter. They will be known as STWs, straight to welfare. Not that Starmer gives a damn. Unemployment for youngsters, especially those with nothing much to offer the market, will go off the scale next year. And it will be down to socialist tossers running our nation into the ground. Who will speak to the young? Not Labour, that's for sure. That is worrying, isn't it? This is a government that have no experience in business. The biggest engine driver of growth, which they wanted to achieve, and they are killing that engine. They do what they think is right, but it's having the opposite effect on the economy. Having said that, having no experience in business is not an excuse if you're in government. They should invite businesses, business owners. There's plenty of organisations that represent businesses out there they can talk to. And these people will give their opinion. They have a wealth of knowledge, of real knowledge, experienced knowledge in the workplace, how businesses work. Do you remember before the election, Labour were courting business? They said they were talking to businesses and wanted to become the party of business. So if they did actually do this, right, what happened? Because everything they're doing now is killing business. They're basically putting their boot on the neck of businesses. Either they did not listen to business, or they listened to them and ignored them, then went about their own policies as they saw fit. But it smacks, doesn't it, of literally sneakiness, wiliness, just saying they're talking to businesses to get into power. It's like the old, we won't raise tax on national insurance. You did raise national insurance, yes, but not on working people. It's duplicitous, isn't it? And what's happened to this country? So GDP is down, debt is up, unemployment is up. I've been reading some really awful things about pubs, hospitality. Do you know, so far this year, a pub every day is shutting down. In fact, more than that. It's just over, maybe it's booked at about 1.3 pubs. And this is going to get worse because that business rate relief they had previously is going to be expiring on the 31st of March next year. And the trouble is, this the government is so inept, it's making us all gloomy about the economy, about the potential this country has. You know, because of this, we're all going to talk ourselves into a recession. If you look at the household saving ratio, it's been creeping up since quarter two 2022. It's now at 10.7%. This says people are worried and are not spending money. It's, as an example, it spiked during COVID to 27.5%. It really shot up. Two reasons. People were worried, but also you couldn't go out and spend. So people were saving a bit more. But before that, and just after that, after Q2, it's been largely below 10%. And now it's at 10.7%. It did go up to 11% recently. So I don't know. We are sort of talking ourselves into a recession. This government's helping, of course. They're providing the narrative, the fuel, the content that makes you think and believe this. But there's plenty of businesses out there that are doing okay and doing well. You know, but so you know, you have the ones or you know, they're struggling, they're gonna go bust probably, or go through. And you have the ones that have, you know, are doing okay will probably struggle even more. That's the trouble. So listen, there's not much company news out today to cover. In fact, nothing really, apart from some crap companies not worth covering. So go out. Enjoy yourself over Christmas. Spend some money. Forget about this government. They won't be around here long. And then we have to worry about the next sort of set of idiots. I'm worried about that. But because part of me is liking what Kemi Badenoch is doing now. I do like the business, sort of stance approach that Reform have. But I just think they're chaotic. And I don't believe Farage at all. I think he's a bit of a snake, you know, oil salesman. But even if I like what Kemi Badenoch is saying, You know, if you listen to what Rachel Reeve and Keir Starmer were saying before the election, it hasn't transpired, is it? So like politicians, it's the old gag, isn't it? How can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips are moving or they're speaking, full stop. Because I know Kemi Badenoch, for example, here's a good example. She was quite honest about this. I saw an interview with her on LBC. And they've said about cutting the welfare bill, which they've got to. You've got to cut spending. That's the first thing. You've got to cut spending. It's hugely important to do that. And if you do that, you know, debt, you know, less debt, you don't have to pay so much your debt costs will go down, they can invest more. Got to be more efficient in the government. Absolutely. Cut spending. And one of these areas would probably be the triple lock pension. But that is not the vote winner. So you see that, you know, you box yourself into saying, oh, well, we won't. And she did say, well, we're not going to talk about triple locks, you know, pre-election, because that's not what we want people to focus on. And I thought, you've already sort of admitted there you are going to do. I think triple lock should be, it's nuts. Because if you look at what happens, it's, you know, for example, you have the odd spike in inflation and then the pension goes up by 11%, which is like, it's so expensive for the government. I don't understand why it's done like that, the triple lock. Well, why don't you just say, for everything, right? All, everyone, every public sector, that's another thing. Public sector workers got a pay increase by 7.6%. Private sector, about 4%. That's nuts, isn't it? Why don't you just say your wages will be linked to inflation, but an average of the last 10 years inflation? So it'd be like 1 or 2% above that. Because that way it'll take out the spikes, you know, from like when we had inflation of 11%, you wouldn't get 13% increase. It'd be averaged out of the last 10 years of inflation. What's the rate of that? So it would be about, what, 3%, 4% probably. Because for 10 years as well, you know, we had no inflation. But then that spike would have happened. So that would work, wouldn't it? For everyone, from pensions to things. Just take the average. Also, another thing I was looking at, you know, GB Energy, they want to spend $8.3 billion. I don't think they've had any, and they're a crowd-in private investment. I don't think they've had any investment yet. $8.3 billion. So again, do you know what? Why didn't you just give grants to businesses that are energy, you know, intensive to put solar panels and batteries? You could give every business a grant of like 10 grand, and you'd spend a lot less than 10.3. Their energy costs would go down. There'd be less, you know, problem demand on the grid, because they're almost, you know, creating their own energy. Just, I think, but at the moment, they're really doing something very complex, creating GB Energy, which seems like quite capital intensive. So you wouldn't do that, just give grants. And then maybe some houses as well. Just get people generating their own power, storing it in batteries. I don't know. Anyway, before I go, there's no company news. I thought I'd do a podcast before I left, just in case, you know. I don't know why, just in case, I have no idea. Let's look at the markets quickly. FTSE 100, up, just shy of 0.5%, 9,884. Oh, hang on a sec. Will it break 10,000 for year end? Could do. Stock 600, up 31%. In fact, you know the saying, larger caps are looking like it's doing quite well. And you tend to find, large caps tend to rally before smaller caps. And they trickle down effect because people take less risk at the start of dodgy periods. But then as interest rates come down, people take more risks. And you realize, anyway, the large caps have pretty much rallied at the top of the valuations. Where else can we find a return? And you tend to go down the market cap for a bit more risk and reward. So it's good that the big caps are up. But anyway, Stock 600 in Europe, up 31%, 587. S&P 500, up 0.7%, 6821. The FTSE small cap, it's just flat, 7441. Good example. See, big caps are up, small caps are down. Russell 2000 in America, small cap indices, up 0.7%, 2525. The FTSE 250, which is down a little smidge, flat really, 22,318. NASDAQ, up 0.85% to 23,200. The high there was 24,000, pretty much, just shy of that. Where else are we? The Dow Jones Industrial Average, up 0.6%, 48,222. The FTSE All World Index, up 0.64% to 664. That's, is it all? No, it's not all time high. And the AMOL share, it's back in that. It did rally early this morning, but it is back in that range now from the underside. It broke down below that support at 755, but it's now at 756, but it's pretty much flat, up 0.05%. Brent crude, $60 a barrel. It did get down to 59 recently. Where else are we at? Silver. Is that an all-time? It is an all-time high. It's just silver's gone vertical. If you're going to use silver, sell it. When you have something go vertical like that, it can't sustain that kind of rise. Let's look at the RSI. Yeah, the RSI, oh, it's just over 70, but it did go up to 77. It may have to go sideways, but $66.75 an ounce. Gold, all-time high? I think it could be closing at all-time high. $4,376 an ounce. Copper, $5.52 a pound. Yeah, it's getting there, towards highs. What else we got there? Natural gas, it's come off from 5.4 down to 3.9 in the last few sessions. Bitcoin, 87,800. It seems to be forming a bit of a base here, this level, around about sort of 85, you know, 86 is support, resistance at 93. But it's up 2.8% a day to 87,854. What else we got there? Dow Jones. No, in fact, I've said that. Dollar index. It's up a third of 1%, 98.68. It has rolled over from a recent high of 100. Let's look at the debt here. Government debt, two-year bond. The yield on that is 3.74, down a quarter of 1%. The 10-year bond, the yield is 4.5%, up 0.9%. And the 30-year yield is at 5.24, up 0.6%. A pound will buy you €1.14, it'll buy you $1.33. I think I've covered everything there, haven't I? Pretty much, that's it. Well, have a nice weekend, and hopefully speaking next week. If there's any news out next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I will cover it on the podcast, right? But have a cracking weekend. Only a couple of days left. And we'll speak to you next week. Don't forget, sharepickers.com, 40% off, ends at the end of the year. And that means you get membership for £2.88. Okay, that will go up after the thing. So check it out, sharepickers.com. And like I said, that is 40% cheaper than a Big Mac. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Amazing what you can get for your money. Thanks so much. Speak to you next week.
Muchos. Appreciators.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed-sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.